you're all jumping on with us in the second hour of the program. Thank you for not spending your morning stalking ICE agents and trying to use your vehicle as a weapon. We really appreciate you for doing just that and being with us today. We're highlighting how stupid behavior results in stupid consequences. I don't know how else to put it. I see a lot of people are trying to dance around the issue because they are just too afraid to issue responsibility to the woman who sadly lost her life yesterday. Yeah, very tragic. We don't like death. I don't like death. If it's preventable, especially, let's prevent it. But unfortunately, one woman made a really bad decision yesterday. Actually, she made a lot of bad decisions, a lot. And it resulted in her losing her life because she decided to use her vehicle to both block ICE agents and also use it as a weapon. We've been diving into that throughout the show today, and I'm not going to shift blame. I'm not going to pretend like there's any justification for this behavior. There is none. There is none. Gary Brugman is going to be joining me in a couple of minutes. He's a former U.S. patrol agent. He was pardoned by President Donald Trump. He was someone who was a victim, obviously, of lawfare. He's been 2 years in a supervised release. They tried going after Gary, and this is why it's so crazy to me, and I can't wait for his perspective on all of this, because, well, he was sent to prison, but ultimately what happened here is, you see, we tend to have so much empathy for the actual perpetrators, the ones who are violating these laws, and our attention really hasn't been appropriately shifted to the actual people who are committing these crimes. When I tell you all the time, and I'm so enraged by this, but you know, when we sit back and we watch the people who over the last 4 years came in and invaded this country, and then everyone's pretending like we have to give them cushy beds and help feed their families after they invaded our country. It was infuriating to see. And again, so many people not shifting blame appropriately to the correct parties. But now we're watching as ICE is trying to do its job, which is the federal government's only job. That's to protect the mainland. And they're trying to do their very best to step on their feet and to block them from being able to carry out this job. Here's my issue. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like this woman is a victim. The victim here is, sadly, her son, who now has to, apparently, according to Colin Rugg, lost his father back in 2023. And instead of doing what was best for a kid, obviously, which would be providing, protecting, because now she's a single mother, and creating a solid future for her kid, she instead decided to go out there and defend people she didn't even know. And when I say defend, I mean her defend. She believes that she was defending them, illegal aliens. And, you know, according to ICE, she was using her vehicle as a weapon, as you saw, but you also heard from Kristi Noem, DHS secretary, come out and say she's stalking these people. I don't care. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like there's anything that she did that was correct. By the way, if you're in Minneapolis right now, public schools have been shut down apparently for the next couple of days because they're afraid of these protests being carried out. Yeah, that will do it. That will do it. Yeah, let's just shut down the schools. Let's make these kids even dumber. Well, I'm really excited because it looks like, too, and Nick Sorter just posted this clip. Despite all the rioting you see going on right now, I guess this is footage that he has released. And it's both DHS, the FBI, and the IRS going door to door to go after Somalian fraud. Like I told you, this is all a distraction. They're hoping that you shift your attention over to this now. They're hoping that you feel empathy. You feel like this woman is a victim. But she's a victim of her own stupidity, folks. She's a victim of her own stupidity. The left's going to tell you that's a cruel response. It's not a cruel response. These are the same animals who decided to laugh, crack jokes when Charlie Kirk was assassinated, shot in the throat. Remember all the jokes they were putting out there, the memes? They thought that was funny. We're not going to be empathetic for a woman who made a lot of really bad decisions with her life. My empathy is with her family. My empathy is with her son. My empathy is with that ICE agent who back in June was dragged by another left-wing terrorist. And I'm sure that's what your empathy is as well. All right, folks, buckle up. We've got a whole show to give you in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. More to discuss in just a few moments. In the meantime, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. If you buy a bottle of any of our supplements, you get either the Atomic Defense or Chia Legit Gummies for free for a limited time.
Are you tired of stubborn fat that just won't budge no matter how hard you diet? Well, let me introduce you to Ultimate Burn, the most powerful science-backed fat-torching formula available today. Inside every capsule of Ultimate Burn is 200 milligrams of GlucoVantage dihydroberberine, a supercharged form of berberine that clinical studies show slashes insulin resistance, blocks new fat storage, and helps your body burn fat for fuel. Then we crank the heat with a massive 120 milligrams of Calorie Burn GP Grains of Paradise, packing a full 15 milligrams of active 6-paradol. Human trials prove it fires up your brown fat, ramping your daily calorie burn by up to 200 extra calories a day. Then we finish it with cinnamon polyphenols and bioparin to make sure every milligram hits your system hard. The result is faster fat loss, smaller waist, better blood sugar, and energy that lasts all day. Ignite your results with the real deal. Grab Ultimate Burn now and watch your body finally start burning fat like it's supposed to. Stock is limited. Get yours before it's gone. It's Ultimate Burn. Light the fire at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. It's Sunny. You're all jumping on board with us right now. I'm watching things developing in Minneapolis right now, and there are protests happening throughout the city. But most importantly, they're shutting down schools. Probably because they want more people on the streets. They want to make this more chaotic, as you could assume. They want to make also kids dumber. I mean, that's what they did with the pandemic. They used that as an excuse to not put them in school. And this is what they do. So we're watching things as it develops. Again, this is some low IQ activity that's going on right now in Minneapolis. They're trying to defend a woman who decided to use her vehicle to block federal agents from carrying out their jobs. Obviously, federal agents are under attack. Remember what happened in Dallas when an individual, not the low IQ individual, decided to open fire on multiple vehicles. And again, because he was just dumb. Sadly, he killed migrants who had nothing to do with whatever he was thought his cause was, I guess. But this is why ICE agents are on edge, and rightfully so. Their lives are at risk. You know, I reported afterwards, though, waited until it was all taken down. But we did find that ICE agents, DHS agents across, obviously, the agency, they were doxxed, their information, their homes, their addresses, obviously, their phone numbers were all put online. So of course they're on edge. Of course they are. And I don't blame them. Now, when you look at the footage, you see that there is an agent right in front of the vehicle that is being used as something to block them from doing their jobs, but then it gets used as a weapon. Now, that agent you see in the front of the vehicle, according to DHS Secretary Kristi Noem, was somebody who was dragged back in June by another left-wing terrorist. So he's obviously got some trauma. But he's justified in all of this. Now, sadly, we're dealing with left-wing terrorists here, so they don't see the justification here because they don't want you to see the justification from this. They're putting up still images. They're not showing you all angles of the footage. They're not showing you the fact that this agent was hit by the vehicle. And so now everyone's an expert. Everyone wants to tell law enforcement how to do their jobs. But the thing here, I'm not a law enforcement agent. I won't be able to tell them how to do their jobs. But when I see a situation, I say, oh, yeah, you should be able to defend yourself there. Well, that's just me rubbing my two cents into all of this. Let's have a former law enforcement agent weigh into all of this. Please welcome to the show, Gary Brugman. He's a former U.S. Border Patrol agent. He was also pardoned by President Trump because he understands that these left-wing terrorists, these Democrats, will do everything that they can to try to push back on us, push back on our agents from being able to carry out their jobs. You know, Gary, it's a pleasure to have you on today's show. We're excited to have you here. When I saw what unraveled yesterday in Minneapolis, you were the first person to come into my mind because, you know, you understand this better than anyone out there right now. You understand the risk that these agents are putting their lives at every single day. We're watching as terror threats are being made to them constantly. We had, you know, Kristi Noem come out there and say that just that day alone, there were four times, three of those being in Minneapolis, where regular civilians are using their vehicles to block federal agents from doing their job. That was just yesterday alone. So this is becoming a well-orchestrated effort. I just want to hear your reaction to the video and kind of just simplify it for our audience. As someone with a law enforcement background, what do you see taking place in that video? And do you think this agent's behavior, his actions, were justified?
Good morning, Brianna. Thank you for having me again. Ma'am, absolutely. His actions were justified. If everybody keeps saying he was standing in front of the vehicle, everybody keeps saying he should have jumped out of the way. If you take a good look at the video, it seems like he had gotten out of the vehicle on the right and was walking across. And he initially wasn't standing in front of the vehicle. The vehicle was pointing one direction. She backed up and turned towards him, putting him in front of the vehicle. That's what I see from the video. And again, he had been dragged before back in June, I believe it was. So he's got that mindset where he needs to be careful. And the other thing is, everybody sees these videos. I see about two or three different videos from certain angles. But I have yet to see a video from behind him, from what he saw, from the vehicle coming at him. Mm-hmm. You know, everything's from the vehicle going away. Nothing has his point of view. His point of view is completely different from what anybody else is caught on camera. And that's the important thing, because he's got a 2,000-pound car coming at him, which is a weapon. And anything that's used against you can be a weapon. One of the things that we were very careful of when we were handcuffing people, if you get one cuff on a person, they snatch away, they've got a gouging instrument, you know? So anything can be used as a weapon against you. So, yeah, he was completely justified in that shooting.
Yeah. Well, we're sitting back and we're watching Democrats call for him to be charged with murder. It's very obvious that you have a split second to make a decision, and that this officer, this agent made the best decision possible, which is to protect himself and his team. And that this woman was the one who really put herself in a bad situation by using her car to block them. According to Kristi Noem, she was stalking them all day. Obviously, this is someone, because when we look at her social media page, she's got pronouns in one of her profiles. It's very obvious that she's left leaning at this point, and that this is something that she was doing because she thinks that she can. How do federal agents combat all of this when you're trying to carry out your jobs, when you know what we saw happen in Dallas, when these agents were simply bringing migrants into their headquarters, into their office space, and then there was an individual on a rooftop who opened fire on them? I mean, these agents know their lives are at risk. When you sit back and you watch Democrats call for him to be charged with murder, I mean, what the heck? How do we sit there and combat all of this? What do these agents who are still serving, I mean, what can they do? I mean, that's a lot of responsibility to put on them, to have them possibly second guess next time this happens to them, to think twice. Because if you don't, Democrats will call for you, too, to be charged with murder.
And you said it right there, Brianna. This is going to cause a lot of agents to second guess themselves, and it's going to get somebody killed because they're going to be thinking, am I doing the right thing? Mm-hmm. Agents are trained at the Federal Law Enforcement Training Center, the Border Patrol Academy, to react in split seconds, to make quick decisions, you know, and everything happens so fast. In a split second is a life and death situation, but then you're put on an investigation for 2 years, then you're brought to trial for, you know, 2 months, and then you're put in jail for, you know, who knows how long, because mm-hmm. of a split second decision that you made that you thought was the right one. And again, these agents love their job. They love what they're doing. I would be right there with everything that happened to me. I would be right there next to them doing it right now. I'd leave tomorrow if they let me, you know, but it's just a mindset, because that's what they swore an oath to. You know, that's what they want to do. They're out there enforcing our laws, making our people safe. And these politicians, with their rhetoric, calling for them to be charged with murder. And, you know, like Mayor Fry yesterday, immediately saying that the DHS's view is BS. He's being judgmental. He's already saying that he's not going to accept it. You know, the guy hasn't even been investigated. The situation hasn't been investigated, and he's already crucifying him. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and this woman had just dropped her son off at school. These people think it's a game. This battle on law enforcement has become a joke to people. It's become a game. And I don't want to sound cliche here, but, you know, you play stupid games, you win stupid prizes. And it's literally the definition of F around and find out.
Yeah.
You know, my take on all this, Brianna, is guess what? It would have been a good day to stay home and not interfere with law enforcement, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. And if she would have done just that, she would be alive today. And, you know, it's mm-hmm. just really sad, because you hear that her son lost his father back in 2023, and now has to deal with this. But again, it's the mother's responsibility to be an adult and to not behave like an animal, and to not do this. Yeah, yeah. Be a role model to your kid. And unfortunately, she didn't decide to do that. And she decided to stick up for illegal aliens that day, who she doesn't even know if the people that were being arrested by ICE, if these were murderers, rapists, child predators. She has no idea what she's stepping into. And when you mind your own business and you don't inject yourself into an investigation, into an arrest, these things don't happen to you. But See, Gary, this is my big issue, because when I watched yesterday all the media coverage going on, you know, the Minneapolis chief of police, he is someone who I won't use the word that I want to use. I will just say that he is someone who has taken a knee to the lefties and has allowed them just to run over him. And he doesn't care about defending himself, about defending law enforcement. And he's justifying all of this. I want to play clip 21 for our audience to understand how bad things are in Minneapolis right now. Take a listen.
I am obviously very concerned that I have been told that a woman who was sitting in her car blocking the street and not the target of any enforcement activity is now deceased.
I am told, as if he hasn't seen the footage. I'm pretty sure he saw the footage. It came out instantly yesterday on social media. So there's no way he didn't see that footage. What is it like when you see someone else who is obviously a law enforcement officer come out there and try to shift the attention, pretend like the actual perpetrator of all of this is the victim, and then allow those who are going to use this narrative to go after other law enforcement officers, federal agents, and just give them the lane to do just that? I mean, he's giving them the narrative, Gary.
I mean, he's a simp. You know, I mean, he's a simp. That's all it is. You know, and what he's doing, he's covering his own ass, because he works at the privilege of the mayor. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the mayor obviously told him, hey, this ain't going to go down like this. It's been like that a long time. Deep down inside, you know, looking at the guy, deep down inside, he's got to want to do something, but he can't, because he's got his career. He's the police chief, probably has his family, you know, and he's just covering his own ass. And that's what a lot of these departments do. I don't think it's the police officers that don't want to help. It's the management. It's their mayors. It's the city councils that don't allow them to do it. And had he had a backbone and done his job and secure, it's so easy, Brianna. You get the police department. We've done it before. You get the police department. You secure the area and you go after who you're going after. I mean, these guys were stuck in the snow and they got chased down. I'm just speaking in general. But you secure the area and allow federal law enforcement to do what they're supposed to do, or allow them to go to your jails and get the people. You know, what's his name? Tim Walz says he's calling on the National Guard. How do you think that's going to go, Brianna?
Yeah.
When they bring the National Guard to deal with federal agents. Isn't the president in control of the National Guard when they're active?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Well, I think that's been the battle, you know, back and forth. Yeah.
Exactly. It's going to get ugly. It's almost like the situation we had down on the border when they had the barbed wire, when the state kept putting up the barbed wire and Biden was ordering the federal agents to lift it up and let the illegals come in, which was also disgusting. It all falls on the government. It all falls on the government. But these people as well, they need to realize that this is in the game. This lady should have thought about her three children and the one she just dropped off at school before she went out and decided, hey, you know what? I'm going to go have some fun with ICE. I'm going to go interfere with ICE. This isn't a joke to these people. They carry guns for a reason. They're going after hardened criminals, and you're just getting in the way. And they don't understand that. They don't understand the consequences that are out there for playing these games.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they don't understand. And I want to play clip 17 for you, because the mayor, like you just said, Mayor Fry, he's out here and he's trying his best to change and spin the narrative. Take a listen.
They are not here to cause safety in this city. What they are doing is not to provide safety in America. What they are doing is causing chaos and distrust. They're ripping families apart. They're sowing chaos on our streets. And in this case, quite literally killing people. So they are already trying to spin this as an action of self-defense. Having seen the video of myself, I want to tell everybody directly, that is bullshit. This was an agent recklessly using power that resulted in somebody dying, getting killed.
See, this is the problem, right? Because we have this guy who pretends to be the mayor of the city, and he's poking it. He wants them to do something. He wants these left-wing terrorists to go out there and to riot and to burn down the city, because this is what they do quite often. They're trying to spin the narrative. The narrative right now, we've been covering this for weeks now, is on the fraud. And so if things start getting kind of crazy over there, then maybe the investigation stop. But thankfully so far, Gary, you know, we just saw Nick Sorter's on the ground and he's doing incredible reporting, but he is over there watching as FBI, IRS, and other federal agents are right now continuing to go out there and find some fraud, dig into the fraud investigation a little bit deeper to find out what's going on over there. But they're using this as a deflection. Your reaction to this, obviously this puts federal agents at risk when they decide to use this as a pivot and put federal agents at risk.
You know, his language that he's using right there is exactly what's making all of this happen. It's disgusting. It's judgmental. He's already condemning, you know, the agents before that any of the situations investigated. How about Mayor Fry just sit back and be like, telling these people, how about, hey, stay home. Don't interfere with law enforcement. It's dangerous out there. We just had a woman killed. Please stay home. How about using that rhetoric? How about it's against the law? As much as you want to go out there and it's your right to protest, it's dangerous. If you're going to protest, protest and stay away. Don't be getting in their face. How about saying that? You know, and I bet you a lot more people would listen. But it's just that rhetoric is what's getting people killed, both on both sides, getting agents assaulted. Assaults are up 2,000% on federal agents, especially ICE. And it's just, he's covering his political career. And I think with Mayor Fry and the whole city council in Minneapolis, with this whole fraud thing, they're all scared right now. So now they're trying to push the federal government out. They're terrified because they've been found out. So with everything happening right now, I think he just needs to have some compassion and tell his people to stay home. Pass the good rhetoric. Let these guys come in, do their job, and get out. All this that you're showing right here is unnecessary.
Yeah.
You know, and I fear for these Border Patrol agents. I fear for them a lot. And ICE agents, all these federal agents, because they're out there doing their jobs, Brianna. And, you know, I was incarcerated for 2 years, and I didn't do a fraction of anything that you're seeing on TV right now. I pushed a guy on the ground. That's all I did. That was trying to get away. Yeah. I knocked him. I hurt his feelings at most.
Yeah, well, I wanted to dive into that story actually a little, because I think you have a great perspective on all of this, because we're watching now as Democrats are going to go after that one agent for defending himself and protecting himself. They have no empathy for the fact that he just a couple of months ago was hit by a vehicle and dragged by another left-wing terrorist. So give our audience, because you and I have talked about this previously, but give our audience some background into your story and what led to President Trump issuing that pardon for you.
Yes, ma'am. I mean, you've heard the story before. We've known each other for a little while. But I served 9 years in the Coast Guard. And in 1998, I became a Border Patrol agent in Eagle Pass, Texas. And on January 2001, 9 months before 9/11, I chased a group of 15 illegal aliens. I was losing the group, chasing for about a mile and a half through a pecan orchard, over fences, through concrete laterals. I was losing them. And a trainee agent and his partner got ahead of me. They caught the group. The trainee agent was trying to get them to sit down. Some were sitting, some were standing. There were two behind him that were squatting. He had his back turned. They were literally behind him, had his back turned. They looked like they were either going to jump the agent or get ready to run. I didn't really know. So I flanked him. I ran up. I put my hand on my weapon, and I used my foot, and I pushed him from the squatting to the sitting position. I knocked him on their ass, and I told him to sit down. And that was it. And I got investigated for 18 months. Brought to trial in Austin, Texas, and they found me guilty. I appealed. I got sentenced to 2 years in prison. I stayed out on bond appealing the case, and the Fifth Circuit said that I don't know where they got this from, but they deemed that I didn't use excessive force, but that my intent was malicious. And how three judges in the Fifth Circuit knew what my intent was, I don't know, but they said my intent was malicious, so they upheld the decision. I got incarcerated for 2 years in five different prisons. And when I got out in 2006, I was a felon for almost 18 years. And in 2020, I never stopped with my story, telling my story, petitioning or anything like that. And I got a lawyer. He petitioned a pardon with the Warrior Defense Project. And next thing you know, I got a call from the White House telling me that the president had pardoned me.
Yeah. And it's such an incredible story when you hear President Trump putting all this to an end. He obviously now, especially now, understands how the lawfare works. But, You know, when it comes to you being prosecuted for this, and again, I'm constantly covering the officer that was involved, and it's a very similar situation in the Breonna Taylor shooting. He didn't kill Breonna Taylor, but he did return fire after Breonna Taylor's boyfriend shot and did shoot one of his partners, one of his colleagues in the leg. And the problem with all of this, and that was Sergeant Mattingly, who we've had on the program as well, the problem with this is they hit him too with the civil rights complaint, the crime the charges itself, the Biden regime did, and they were trying to use him as a scapegoat. He was sentenced to 3 years in prison. He has since been released pending his appeal, but he did spend a couple of weeks in prison in solitary confinement. But I want to get back to specifically the lawfare angle of this. They wanted to make you a scapegoat and target you. Who specifically do you think was going after you to make you the example that day?
Well, this was actually during the Bush administration, and it was a U.S. attorney named Johnny Sutton. And at that time, the United States was trying to appease Mexico because Vicente Fox was complaining about a lot of there was a lot of migration going on back then. And they were trying to please Vicente Fox, and Johnny Sutton took up a war on law enforcement officers. I was the first one. And after me, he went after Ramos and Campeón in El Paso, Gilmer Hernandez in Rock Springs. And basically, he just started a war on law enforcement and going after everybody for civil rights, because that's all he had. There was no other info. But the good thing right now is that this agent here, he has the backing of the federal government. He's got President Trump on his side. He's got, you know, the Department of Justice on his side, because they're the ones sending him out there. DHS. When I was in, there was no DHS. We were Department of Justice. When this happened, that was our agency fell under the Immigration Naturalization Service. That's how long ago this was, Brianna. And yeah, so I fear for the guy, but even the union is stronger now. And we got cameras. If I would have had a body cam back then, or if this would have been caught on a phone, what happened to me, it would have been an open and shut case. They wouldn't even have brought charges, because it was nothing. I pushed the guy on the ground, you know. So, but this guy here, now what happens to him? Well, now what happens to his mental state? He got dragged by a vehicle, you know, 6 months ago, and now he had to pull out his weapon and take somebody's life because somebody came at him with a vehicle again. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, what are these guys supposed to do out there? They have their hands tied when it comes to the public. The DOJ is finally letting them do their job. I've been on a lot of shows, and everybody always asks me, what can we do to secure our border? What can we do to make our nation safe again and stop all this immigration? And I always said, we don't need new Border Patrol agents. We don't need new laws. All we got to do is let the Border Patrol agents we have do the jobs that they're supposed to do and enforce the laws that we already have. And I've said that forever, and that's what's happening. Now everybody's complaining.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and if you look at the video, Brianna, this is all, you know, white American liberals.
Yes. Yeah.
This is white American liberals. I mean, I only saw one black guy that got his face sprayed because he got in a poor attacker's face. Like, that's a smart idea, you know, but
yeah,
it's white American liberals. Stay home.
Yeah.
Take care of your own business. Leave these people alone.
Yeah, yeah, Gary, before you came on, I was doing my little rant about how dangerous white liberal women are and how toxic they are just to this country at this point. They think that they're doing a good service by protecting the invaders, and they have no idea if ICE was there to get a pedophile, to get a rapist, to get a murderer, but they don't care. They're privileged, and they just see that they are the ones who should be injecting themselves into this discussion. Gary Brugman, thank you for joining me today. Thank you for your insight, as always, and we look forward to having you back on the show very, very soon. So thank you, my friend.
My pleasure, ma'am. Thank you for having me.
Always a pleasure. Folks, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. We've got a couple more hours left in that sale I was telling you about. Whenever you purchase a supplement, you get a bottle of the Atomic Defense or the Shilajit Gummies. And the Atomic Defense that you're going to want heading into flu and cold season. So head on over to theoxygenstore.com and keep us up and running.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it? I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
And now, a major shipment has finally come back in for those of you that want to be able to stock up on it at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said, this was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
Just like you want your own body to make vitamin D from the sunlight, you can't force it back in people who can't make it. It can actually hurt them. It's called peroxynitrites. So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf, and I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one, and the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
Because of the organic based compounds that are in it that cause vasodilation in the blood vessels, in the arteries, in the veins, in the capillaries. And it just does so many other great things.
So constricted blood vessels too, because athletes are running, they're constricted, they're working so that the blood flows and it doesn't flow, which is why your nitric oxide product, that new products, I hope you'll show it, because that's a very important thing to have for acute events. Dissolve under the tongue, give you an instant relaxing of your endothelium, your vasculature.
Now listen, it is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take this, it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. I was just researching and wanting to put something out that was good for the heart and talked to a lot of scientists and researchers I knew, and they said, well, these are the type of ingredients we were thinking about putting out a product. When I talked to formulators, they said, well, we actually already have a product that has that, so we private labeled it as Nitric Boost. And just for men in the morning when you wake up, that's the big thing people feel and see right away. So imagine what else it's doing for your body. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there. The shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So it's a paradox. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. And listen, men feel it in that one way. Women love it as well. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason one way or another we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Come to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing, and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster. Every crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision. Down with the globalists. Get ultramethylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to The American Journal. We're excited you're all with us today. You know, we're diving into a lot, obviously. There's a lot of controversy, I don't know why, in Minneapolis. But, you know, we're going to keep pushing back because a bunch of low IQ people are gathering together right now in the city of Minneapolis, and they're trying to protest because they think that ICE agents shouldn't be able to defend themselves when their fellow terrorists go after them. Now, folks, when you play stupid games, you win stupid prizes, which means if you decide to use your vehicle to block federal agents from doing their jobs, and then you decide to use that vehicle as a weapon and move forward and accelerate, when there's an officer, an agent sitting right in front of your car, well, guess what happens? You've now given these agents every single right to defend themselves. You make bad decisions, bad things happen. This wouldn't be you or I. You know why? Because on a Wednesday at 10 a.m., we would not be sitting there stalking, allegedly stalking ICE agents. That wouldn't happen. But here's the good news, right? Because Democrats are using this, and obviously it's sad. A kid just lost his mother. That's very, very sad. But again, her decision. She made the decision to do all of this. Everyone likes to tap dance around the issue. Be direct. Her decision led to this moment. Wasn't free speech. It wasn't she was gathered on a sidewalk and yelling at ICE agents. No, no, no. She literally injected herself into their investigation, tried to stop them. The good news here is Democrats are trying to use this as an opportunity to distract you from the fraud. What's really happening right now in Minnesota? Minnesota is being accused of allowing Somalians and others to commit massive amounts of fraud. I mean, we're talking like billions of dollars. And so all of the very suspicious characters who have been there and have had, like, allowed all of these people to commit these acts, allegedly, well, let me tell you something. They're all starting to use this as an opportunity to distract. Now, if you're watching InfoWars, you don't fall for the distractions because we aren't low intelligent human beings. We are smart people who could see right through the narrative, and folks, they're doing their very best. But here's the good news too. It's not just you and I. DHS, the FBI, they get it. They know what's happening here and they're not letting up anytime soon. How do I know this? Well, Nick Sorter's on the ground right now. And take a look at this video that Nick just posted on X. Nick is on the ground right now filming federal agents that are gathering together all of the evidence that could potentially lead to convictions, we're hoping, regarding massive amounts of fraud. According to Nick, what you're seeing here is DHS, the FBI, and the IRS going door to door conducting raids on alleged fraudulent Somalian businesses. Now, again, these are just allegations, so just keep that in mind. But it's quite obvious that Democrats are using this as an opportunity to distract you. Because what's going on right now, you heard Tim Walz say, we played you the clip, they deem that they're now at war with the federal government. And listen, I'm not someone who wants to advocate for the government. I truly don't want to, but the government has every right to, number one, and it's the only thing that they should be doing, protecting the mainland from invaders. That's what they're doing right now. And number two, making sure people aren't defrauding our system. Because that's our money. Our money. Speaking about fraud, yesterday there were a couple of hearings going on, but most importantly, there was one going on in the House that was meant to highlight the alleged fraud taking place in Minnesota. And in clip 10, you'll hear from the great congressman from the beautiful state of Texas, Brandon Gill, outline how Somalians really don't contribute anything to this country. And they don't want you talking about that, though. But when you break down the statistics, it's really a tough argument to make against what Brandon Gill is trying to say. Take a listen.
Again, thank you for being here. Let me ask you, does large-scale Somali immigration make Minnesota stronger or weaker?
Certainly stronger.
Certainly stronger. Do you know what percentage of Somali-headed households in Minnesota are on food stamps?
No.
54%. Do you know what that number is for native Minnesota-headed households?
Well, to be clear, a majority of the...
It's 7%. There's a big difference between 54% and 7%, is there not?
Excuse me, sir. Could I answer the question?
Let me move on. We've got a lot of questions here. What percentage of Somali-headed households in Minnesota are on Medicaid?
I don't know.
It's 73%. Do you know what that number is for Minnesota Native households?
Again, you're using the phrase Minnesota Native households, but the number
is 18%. That's quite an astounding difference. I think we would
agree. Can I answer the question, please?
Let me ask you one more, and then we can go on to that. What percentage of Somali-headed households are on welfare in general?
I don't know.
It's 81%. What about, let me just ask you, after 10 years of being in the United States, what percentage of Somali immigrant households continue to be on welfare?
I don't know.
The number is 78%. So even after 10 years, 78% of Somali immigrant households continue to be on welfare. Do you know what that number is for Native Minnesota-headed households.
Again, you're using
non-Somali immigrant-headed households.
If I can just answer the question, you're using the phrase Native Minnesotans. The majority of Somali Minnesotans are as Minnesotan as any of us. They were born in the United States. It's only 8,000 of the 108,000 Somali.
Nevertheless, the welfare usage is astoundingly different. Let me ask you again, does that make Minnesota stronger or weaker?
Again, I'd like the opportunity to answer the question here. Again, the majority of Somali Minnesotans are born in the United States, as I understand it.
Okay, well, what percentage of working-age Somalians who have been in the U.S. for 10 years or more, how many of them speak English very well?
I don't know.
About half. The answer is about half. That seems pretty low, doesn't it?
The facts. You can't state the facts. You have to pretend, as he said, that the Somalian contributions have been certainly strong. And although he wants to make the argument, which I guess you could try to make, that the majority of them are born here in the United States, keep in mind, it's a very thin margin. I believe it's about 54%. And that's mainly due to the fact that when they get here to the United States, they just keep reproducing. And that's mainly due to the fact that they're trying to have as many kids as possible to collect as many benefits as possible. But you can't talk about that, because if you do, you might offend those who aren't actually contributing. See, here's the thing, right? When these politicians, when these individuals, these experts come forward, all you have to say is, give me at least three of the top Somalian contributions to this country. Just three. You'd hear crickets. See, at some point, we have to continue to go out there and push this a little bit harder, because everyone feels very uncomfortable with saying that out loud. Why? Because it's deemed racist. If you say the truth, and if it's actually true, and it offends a group of people, then it's racist. It's not racist. It's factually true. We need to have more uncomfortable conversations in this country. That conversation needs to happen. We have allowed people into our country who can't even build their own functioning government in their country. Then they come here, they demand free from all of us, and they never weed themselves off the system. Now, I'd be okay if people legally came into our country, immigrants, and then needed a helping hand, maybe for a year, maybe for 2 years, maybe for 3 years. But when you've been here for as long as a lot of them have been here for, and you fail to even want to learn English, when you push that we must assimilate to you, not the other way around, when your leaders, your community leaders, go out there and say and highlight the fact that they've conquered certain parts of Minnesota, and again, we played that clip for you, specifically conquered was the word used to describe how they've overpopulated particular areas in Minnesota. These aren't people that are asking to coexist. These are people who are looking to take over. That's why the state had to change its flag. Again, in the state alone of Minnesota, they've got roughly a little less than 6 million people, 100 million Somalians. And for some reason, their politicians are just so weak that they must just go out there and say, Somalians contribute so much to our society. We love them. Because they can't say the truth. The truth is that they are leeches to the system. The truth is they don't want to contribute. The truth is they view this as conquering a state. And this weak little man, Tim Walz, allows it to happen. Why? Because he doesn't want to be called a mean name. Or, in my opinion, he's likely in on the fraud himself. Now, we've seen it time and time again. They don't make these transactions something that's traceable, right? We saw that there was an indictment in regards to Somali defendants who were being accused of fraud. They showed up to a juror's home with $125,000 in cash is what they were accused of. So it's likely you're not going to sit there and find a digital trail. We see the TSA whistleblower who came out to Liz Collins and said, they are literally shipping out millions of dollars in cash and bringing it back to Somalia. And we have all the evidence. I saw it firsthand. We've documented it. Where's the federal government in all of this? Now, hear me out. According to the FBI source that I spoke to, they said that although the original case was filed under the Biden regime stopped investigating when they realized that there was a Somalian theme here, and that They claim the director of the FBI, Kash Patel, that went down to Minnesota and demanded that they begin the investigation again and begin prosecuting the people in charge, who they deem were all participants in the fraud again. I haven't seen any evidence to back it up, but that's what I've been told. This is much larger than I think most people realize in this country. You know, there was a great clip. J.D. Vance was actually talking about how there's something soon going to happen. And J.D. Vance has, obviously J.D. Vance is on the right side of things. And in clip 12, he's talking about mass deportations and how, you know, it needs to speed up a little bit more. But he also thinks the faster we start deporting these people, the cost of living will drastically dip in this country. Now, I don't know if I agree with that, but take a listen to the vice president.
To get it done. And if you get the immigrants out of the country that came here illegally, that's going to bring prices down. Are we getting these illegals out fast enough?
We always want to get them out faster. A lot of the ICE agents that we have hired in the past 6 months, they're not even done with training. So all of the big investments that we've made in border security, what we've done is actually gotten 2.5 million illegal aliens out without any of the really big marquee things that we've been working on. That was just simple willpower and the President of the United States coming in and saying, this is done. I think we're going to see those deportation numbers ramp up as we get more and more people online working for ICE, going door to door and making sure that if you're an illegal alien, you've got to get out of this country. And if you want to come back, apply through the proper channel.
If things don't work out for me at Fox, could I work for ICE? You never know.
You could work for ICE, but look, you're a very compelling communications guy. You can be a speechwriter, assistant speechwriter in the vice president's office if you ever find yourself unemployed.
Ah, okay. So if I ever find myself unemployed, I want this guy's job, the guy who's in charge of just, I guess it's Mace. They're just macing these people. I want to be this person. I actually might just file and put my application in. See, this is the problem, right? And you're going to see it in a second. There's a video of, it's honestly kind of badass, right? Because you have a guy who's calling himself a protester. Inject that into my veins. I want that guy's job, right? You have these protesters who were so emboldened to touch a federal officer, to touch his weapon. And then they go, why did this happen to me? This is police brutality. I actually saw an account just do a still image of this. And it's just him getting hit in the face, which I think is Mace. But it's interesting because, again, they don't want you seeing the full video there where he touches this federal agent. You can't do that. Again, you do stupid things. You win stupid prizes. Sorry, not sorry. It's a consistent theme here. All right, we talked yesterday about what was going on abroad. Now, obviously, oil tankers are being seized, Venezuelan ones specifically, and it's happening in a lot of different places. We reported on the story yesterday, and interesting enough, the Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth, is actually sounding off right now in clip 11 as to what he deems the truth in regards to these tankers being seized, specifically the one that happened yesterday. Take a listen.
Two tankers have been boarded and apprehended by the U.S. military. A senior Russian lawmaker is quoted as saying this is outright piracy. What do you call these actions?
Outright accountability, actual enforcement. There's been a long time illicit activity emanating from Venezuela, around the world, really. The Dark Fleet's a global enterprise, but Venezuela has used it to transport sanctioned oil, flagless vessels that enrich the regime. And we have said a oil blockade is in full effect around Venezuela to ensure that that oil on the Dark Fleet doesn't make it anywhere. So there was one vessel that attempted to move toward Venezuela, and when we put the blockade in, turned around. So we've been pursuing that one for a couple of weeks, frankly, just a reminder that we will follow you. And when we have the opportunity, we'll ensure you are, we seize that vessel, which we did. And then there was another one inside, closer to Venezuelan waters this morning at the same time, simultaneously, that we also confiscated. So this is an ongoing effort. It's in full effect. The pressure is on. And as Marco has laid out, we're working with the Venezuelan government to ensure that there's a new way by which they can process that oil, partnering with the United States, and we're going to continue to enforce it, this blockade as necessary.
As you heard him say there, they're going to continue to enforce it. they're going to continue to enforce it. So this isn't going to end anytime soon, folks. It's going to keep ramping up. And it's something that we're going to keep our eye on, of course, of course. And since, you know what, since we're on the subject too, as we previously were, about illegal invaders getting into our country, I can't keep talking about these types of stories because I think it's important for everyone to understand, specifically women, young women, too, in regards to Uber. Now, Uber, Lyft, they have been dragged into court several times. And they were forced to hand over their, I guess you could just say their sexual assault statistics. And they weren't very transparent at first, some of these companies, but they were forced to hand it over. And it's an insane amount of young girls, women, who have been sexually assaulted by the drivers. Now, there's a news story that just popped up in Georgia in regards to an illegal alien who was apparently driving for Uber, and then he allegedly raped a passenger. Take a listen to clip 13.
Police say Antonio Gerardo Badia Valerio was an Uber driver when he sexually assaulted a 20-year-old passenger last month. This mugshot taken of him a little more than 3 months prior is tied to a DUI charge in Gwinnett County.
It's scary hearing that, like, someone close to my age is getting, like, raped in an Uber. Because we don't know what can happen anywhere.
I think there should be a more safer way to screen whoever is driving, and because it's your life that you're putting on somebody's hands.
Police say it happened somewhere in the area of Windy Hill Road and Cobb Parkway. The victim reported it to police around 10:30 at night. Badia Valerio is wanted on felony charges of rape and two other felony charges.
I don't think it's fair for her that she had to go through that while he still gets to live his life, and she has to live with that.
A statement from Uber says, in part, "We take reports of this nature extremely seriously, and this disturbing behavior has no place on the Uber platform. We removed the driver's access to the app as soon as this was reported to us."
I have my own car, so that kind of like gives me an advantage not having to ask for an Uber.
I asked Uber if Badia Valerio was actually an Uber driver when he was charged with DUI and disorderly conduct in Gwinnett County several months ago, but haven't heard back. As for the recent charges here in Cobb County, well, those were just recently filed.
See, this is the problem, right? Because they're not going to tell you whether or not they knew that he was, first off, an illegal alien who shouldn't have been working for the company in the first place, because then it's likely that he must have disclosed or provided them with possibly a fake social. Did he have insurance? I mean, there's just so many different layers to this, but this is what constantly is going on with these ride-sharing apps. And again, I know Uber and Lyft would dispute this, but the reality of it is young women need to wake up and realize, like, you think because you're getting a safer ride home because you're not operating a car, possibly you had a couple of drinks, Uber is the safest bet. Truthfully, you got to be careful. You got to be careful. You got to be careful. And it just highlights that point. I don't understand how someone could be charged previously and still being allowed to use the platform. But again, this is a major, major issue that needs some serious looking into by our federal government. Because whether or not Uber is or Lyft is allowing this to happen, again, this needs an investigation immediately, because this is going on constantly. Every time I see these stories pop up, I try to play it for you guys so that everyone understands what the issue is here. I always tell also girls, women, before you get into a car, always check the plates. I've actually had the incident happen to me twice where I look and the plates don't match the app. Because a lot of the times they might be the same type of car, same type of model, but somebody else could be utilizing another driver's app because they're not supposed to be. And so you really have to wake up and pay attention and be ready to defend yourself if there is an incident like that, of course. Let's take a look at this. This is coming to us from Liz Collin. Now, she's obviously all over the Minnesota stuff, too. This gave me a good chuckle the other day. Remember that story we told you about that Nick Sorter went over to that Hampton Inn, the Hilton, that's allegedly not allowing DHS agents to stay on their property? Well, it looks like Hilton has actually removed them from the system. According to Liz Collins, that they have removed the Hampton Inn sign, so they're probably going to have to change the hotel name because according to the Hilton, they don't want them there. They don't want them serving. They don't want them pretending to be Hilton associated. And if this is the case, I am very proud of the Hilton. Because they responded pretty quickly. And although, you know, you can have your criticisms, but the reality of it is a massive corporation stepping in and saying, oh, we don't associate that. We actually do support our federal agents. And then they do what you just saw there, because the company, again, it's franchises. It's a massive, massive company. So you have to take a franchise at its word. And then as soon as Nick Swerter put up that video, an hour later, the Hilton responded by yanking their licensing. So good on Hilton. Listen, we'll take a win. Celebrate a win. We'll take it. Interesting post that I saw the other day, too, and I wanted to get your attention on this. You know, the U.S. Citizens and Immigration Services, right now they put up an actually very interesting tweet. They're actually revising the naturalization test for all applicants. It's a test that obviously you must pass before becoming a U.S. citizen. Now, they don't specifically tell you what they're changing. You know, I'm going to be asking. Because I could only imagine what they're going to be asking. And I hope it's good stuff, you know? Because right now, our standards for accepting people into this country are pretty freaking low. Pretty freaking low. And so this would be a great way to kind of filter through the trash. Why not? Why not? So I'll be following that story as well. But I just want to make sure you guys saw that one, because that was a big one. That was a really big one. All right, let's shift gears over to California for a bit. Commie Cali. I don't know if you guys saw this either. You know, the good folks over at Zero Hedge have another story up. And this one gives you a good chuckle. U-Haul has just released its annual growth index for all 50 states. And for the sixth straight year, California is ranked 50th. With the highest rate of people moving out versus moving in. I wonder why. You guys, they want to make Gavin Newsom president of the United States. And although we'll joke and say we all know that he's an awful leader, Democrats, they're like, oh, he looks good. Let's vote for him. If he ever gets close to leading this country, where else are we all going to flee to? I mean, the only consistency here is that he's been able to be the top salesman for U-Haul indirectly. So I am a little on edge. I know a lot of people think it's not going to happen, but you never know. And I do deem it as a threat. I don't know if you saw this too yesterday. Maybe if you're under the age of 40, you know who this man is, Spencer Pratt. Okay, so my parents never let me watch reality TV, but I still watched it anyway. And so I know who he is. He is one of the, back in his teen years, he was on the show The Hills. Well, guess what? He's had enough and he's running for mayor of LA. He's actually done an incredible job at exposing all the fraud behind those wildfires that happened a year ago. So he officially announced his campaign and filed yesterday. And I believe yesterday was actually the 1 year anniversary. So he's looking for accountability. And this is what we do. This is what we encourage. This is how you push back. Instead of just being someone to talk junk, go be the change. Be the change in your own community. So now he's going to run for mayor, and I look forward to seeing how he campaigns. I don't even remember him being political at all. I don't even think this is a political thing for him. It's just a matter of holding these people accountable and just ending all of this, because obviously LA is poorly managed, and we all saw what played out during those wildfires. So good on him. We look forward to following. All right, folks, if you head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com, it is 40% off right now. 40%. We just saw that one pop up. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. Take a look at all the sales that are going on right now for a limited time while supplies last. It's 40% off. That's the methylene blue tallow bomb. That's the one that's on sale right now, 40% off. So head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com and make sure you grab it up before we run out, because that's going to be a top seller over at the shop, thealexjonesstore.com.
If you ask Grok, or if you ask a sports nutritionist, or if you ask the nutritionists on the Olympic teams, they will tell you that creatine is absolutely a must. TheAlexJonesStore.com already has the very best creatine you can get on the market. Now we're introducing this, and I am extremely excited. Let me introduce you to this bad boy that comes in two delicious flavors. That is the recommended daily allowance of the highest quality type of creatine. Right there, concentrated, the very best. We get it from the top lab in the country, the highest rating, 5 milligrams of this a day. Most people think creatine is just about better muscle, healthier, more stamina. It's been proven. It's been documented. I'll show you what Grok had to say about it here in just a moment. But the first thing you need to understand is that it's not just making your muscles better or your body be able to do more exercise. It's doing all these incredible things for your brain and everything else. And that's really more and more what scientists are saying people should focus on with creatine. And just since I've been taking creatine for the last few months, it has had dramatic effects on my clarity, my focus, my energy, especially when used with ultramethylene blue. Again, everybody knows about muscle and performance, or most people do. But what are the other benefits? Grok says secondary emerging benefits. Improves anaerobic capacity and power output. May increase glycogen storage in muscles when combined with carbs. Potential brain benefits, improves cognitive performance under sleep deprivation or mental fatigue. Possible neuroprotective effects being studied in traumatic brain injury, Parkinson's, depression, etc. May benefit vegetarians and others who have a lower level of creatine in their diet. Who benefits the most? Older adults, strength and power, people with low dietary creatine. It goes on and on. Bottom line, if you're not taking creatine, you're crazy, and we've got the best.